Morning, good morning, good morning. This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ, and happy Friday.
Good morning there, Red. It is Friday. I am back in my truck, which I am extremely happy about. Hopefully my connection's better because I was having a lot of trouble getting in with DV Switch earlier in the week, so I gave up. This should be back to normal. Yeah, how are things?
Things aren't too bad. I've been working on my 3D printer. I ordered a new hot end for it, and I guess any cubic Viper is too old, and they sent me a hot end that's not going to work. So I want to clean it. I want to take it apart, but I can't get the wires disconnected from the board. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
So I am not intimately familiar with the Viper. However, most of those hot ends are all extremely, well, similar in their function, even more similar in how they're driven. I say this because you can probably, for very, very low money, switch it to a generic or an alternate hot end. My first 3D printer at home, my Voxel Lab, I switched it to a Creality Sprite Pro direct drive. I did the same thing with the one at work. It's nothing and not too expensive to switch to a different hot end. It's the hot end and the mount for it. It's fairly easy to do in most cases, unless Viper did something extremely proprietary with their cabling.
Yeah, I did see some of that when I was doing some research, replacing the hot end with another hot end. But right now, I can't get the wires unplugged from the board, and I don't want to ruin them. And I can't pull out the tube that carries the filament into the hot end. I can't get that out either, so I'm struggling here. I'm going to try some other things later this weekend. I'm going to give up on it for right now. Because if I'm getting frustrated, that's when I tend to break things.
I think it's a good idea to take a step back, maybe watch some more YouTube videos, see if you can find any videos where maybe people are dealing with the same issues. I'm sure there are videos out there that can help. Like I said, if not, it's not a big deal to replace the whole thing. Even if you have to cut wires and splice in the new hot end wires or something, all very doable. Or just run new wires back to the main board. That's doable as well. But How about on the radio side?
On the radio side of things, I have some RG213 ordered, supposed to be in tomorrow, about 150 feet of it. And I've decided I'm going to go with an N-fed half-wave antenna. I'm going to mount that in the garage attic. I was going to build it myself, but I think I did see one from ARRL for a reasonable price. I would still have to build it, but everything would come what I need, so I might do that.
So what's the total length end up being?
I can't remember what the total length was, but it covered multiple bands. I know it covered 40, 20, maybe there was multiple bands that it covered. So I liked that idea.
And my other question would be, what do you have to do for grounding or your counterpoint sites?
Yeah, I have to look into that to see how I'm going to ground it if I put it up in the attic.
Some of those NFEDs, and maybe that's what they're promoting there, is that it doesn't require a ground or a counterpoise. But I think maybe it's really utilizing your coax as the counterpoise. Yeah, I guess I would have to do a little more research on that myself. Even my Chameleon M-Pass Lite, if I use the NFED long wire configuration, it does discuss operating it without a counterpoise wire. And I was always wondering how that actually worked.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I did watch a video. The series is called Telecom Training, and he did talk about, I'll have to go back and look at about NFED antennas and the counterpoise and how that's going to work.
Did you already order it, or are you thinking about ordering it?
I have not ordered it yet, but if that's the way, if I decide to use the NFED, that would be the way to go. I had thought about doing a dipole up in the attic, but I don't know if I would. I want to be able to tune it, even though that this has an automatic tuner. From what I've seen on YouTube, it works really well. But I know that the NFED, with this NFED, that it will work for multiple bands. That kind of has me intrigued.
Obviously, if it's resonant, you get a full transfer of power. Anytime you're tuning, you do have efficiency loss. I don't know what the range is on that tuner for impedance, but I wonder if it's what kind of tuner is required to be able to tune that antenna to all bands. I do have some manual tuners. In fact, I just had one out on loan to Larry McGuire. But I do have another one. If at any point in time you wanted to borrow a manual tuner to see if you could even tune it further away from its resonant frequency. And they normally do better than the auto tuners. So that option's available if you want. They just have it sitting there. But it looks like Jeff just joined us, and I'm about to roll through the Tim Hortons drive-thru speaker here anyway, so I'll pass the mic along. This is K2PCB.
KC2NVM, good morning. How's everybody today?
Morning, Jeff. Doing pretty good up until just a couple minutes ago, and then I started sneezing. I don't know, there must be something in the air.
Oh, boy. Sneezing uncontrollably, that could be always a fun time.
Yeah, hopefully this passes in the next minute or two.
Hey, I ended up purchasing that buddy pole antenna from the guy in East Aurora. Turns out that antenna is the same antenna that the guy had when I bought my 6100. He sold it. He said he had a buddy pole, and I was waiting for him to put it up on Marketplace, and he never did. He sold it to this guy, and this guy just bought a boat, and he needed to sell it because he was getting more into GMRS than ham radio stuff. So then I purchased that, so now I have two antennas for my 6100, the vertical and the buddy pole.
Oh, very cool. That'll give you a chance to try, I don't know, put them both up at one time and see if one performs any better than the other.
That was my thought process. And different situations, perhaps, or different frequencies, if one works better than another. So I got options.
That's cool. Now that I've got the G90, I'm looking for more of a permanent installation. As I was telling Travis, I'm leaning towards an N-Fed half-wave that I can put up in the attic.
Very nice, very nice.
I saw one in ARRL QST magazine for a kit. I still have to assemble it, which I'm okay with. I kind of like that idea. I like to tinker. And it would cover multiple bands. I can't remember all the bands that it covered, but it was like 4 or 5 bands. And then with the automatic tuner in the G90, I figured that should get me going. My coax is due tomorrow. I bought some RG213, about 150 feet of it, which will be more than enough, but I figure I'll replace the RG58 that I'm using now for this antenna. Hopefully it should be a little bit less loss, but maybe not really enough to make a difference because it's not a long run here.
That's worked out pretty nice. There was a guy at the club last night. He just brought a lot of stuff. I guess he's getting out of HF. But I ended up picking up a 25-watt dummy load, a 100-watt dummy load, an antenna switcher, so you can put in, like, multiple radios to multiple antennas, and just some little interconnect cables for nothing. It's kind of fun.
Ah, good deal. Dummy loads are always nice to have on hand to do testing and stuff. So, yeah. Cool.
That was changing their mind on HF.
I just went through the Tim Hortons drive-thru, and when I pulled in, the sharp-looking blue truck just drove by.
It no longer has that big glaring scratch and dust on the side. You are correct in your observation. However, I didn't tell you guys this. Yesterday, I was on my way to work, and since I wasn't on the radio, sometimes my sister calls me in the morning. Well, I ended up calling her. I came around the corner here, Broadway and Central, and I'm cruising down Central, and I commented how I'm not far from work, and she was saying how, you know, at one point she had just passed Bailey, and so I get up a little further, maybe by the yelling goat. And I hear this noise on the phone, and I'm like, Jamie, first I thought maybe she dropped something, and then, did you just get into an accident? It's like, I did. What? Jamie, what? I just rear-ended somebody, and it turns out she was at Broadway and Memorial. There was a big truck, a car, and then her. Well, apparently the truck in front of her, or them, was pushing the light, so when he went through, it was red, and the lady in front of her jammed on her brakes, and Jamie rear-ended her. She tried to swerve, but ended up hitting the back end of her car. So, yeah, not a good day for her vehicle. She thinks it's going to be totaled, and, yeah, I got mine back on that same day. This is K2PCB.
So your sister might have totaled her car yesterday while she was talking to you on the phone?
Yes, that is true. And I felt extremely awful, and she is a lead foot late breaker. I said, well, I'm the one that called you. You were distracted, and I guess the lady that she ran into even admitted that she panic stopped when she could finally see the light after the truck was by. But either way, Jamie didn't leave enough stopping distance, and bumped into her.
Wow, that's unfortunate. That is really unfortunate.
I don't know why she drove it, but apparently the radiator was leaking, dumping out, but the car was still running. So she drove it over to West Her Collision. It was still drivable, but she hasn't heard back from the insurance company, but they said most likely, since this is not just front-end damage, but it's also, it looks like, I don't know. If it's running, I think the engine's probably good, unless she really overheated it, but because there's more than front-end damage, there's engine compartment damage, so I don't know. I didn't see it. She didn't even send any pictures, but yeah, that's what she's dealing with. And on top of all that, she had hurt her foot a while back, like a couple years ago, and she had surgery. She was in a boot for a while. She was having complications with it. And that's her right foot, so that's her braking foot. She was back at UVMD getting x-rays because her foot was all swollen yesterday after the accident from all the foot pressure.
Wow, that's really too bad.
All around that kind of sucks for her. And she was looking at trading it in, and she's always keeping it meticulously clean and just like me with the stuff on the side. I had to have that repaired, and she, anytime she got a scratch on her car, she'd have it fixed. But yeah, so there goes that trade-in value, which sucks. But even after all of this, or through all this, she went and test drove a new vehicle yesterday. I think she did that while she was waiting for her appointment to have her foot looked at. And she's something. Anyway, this is K2PCB. Sorry for taking up all that time for that little story there, but I've got 645.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. 73 to you. It is Friday. Get in, get out early, and have a great day, a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
I shall do what I can. I don't know how early I can leave. I might just call it anyway. I did have to leave early to go pick up my truck yesterday. It was an 8 and skate, but we'll see. And you're right, it is Friday, so I might just want to take off anyway. All right. Hopefully your coax arrives soon. You can start playing with that. And did you want to borrow any other antennas, like any of the antennas we use for field day, the long wire antennas or anything like that? Is that something you're at all interested in? I can even give you, I have a folded dipole antenna that might be of interest, and it's not very big. That might be something you could put up in that attic there temporarily.
I appreciate the offer, Travis. I will give it some thought. We'll see how soon I can get the wire run. That's really the biggest issue, is getting the wire run into the attic. Once it's in, then I can decide. I got to do a little more research on the NFET half wave, so we'll find out. So I'll let you go. I know you're going into work in 73, and we will talk to you on Monday.
Sounds good. This is K2PCB. I am clear. Good morning, everyone.
KC2PET, are you out there?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am good. Hadn't heard you in there. I was just hoping that you were there today.
I'll get some gas. Spend my weekly stay on gas. They don't run on the air. I wish they did. It'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, that or water. It'd be cool if it ran on water.
So I think you're spraying your HF HDMI. I was looking at the radios on my day off for at least my hour of break I get for my daughter. So I was looking at, they had the Flex radio. That was at A510 or 590. I don't know the model number, but I'm kind of liking that one. It's a little pricey, but it's catching my eye. And if I'm really sick about getting it, I think I'll usually do, I will Okay, if that starts setting like a dollar here or put some money away for it, it's about 10 grand. So, but they always tell you, say, cry once, pay once.
Yeah, I've heard that saying before, particularly when buying tools. You know, cry once, you know, buy once, cry once, instead of crying every time you use it. And when I bought the Zygo G90, John told me, he said, once you start using this, probably after 3-4 months, you'll probably want to upgrade. And I'm like, don't tell me that. I just got the radio.
Well, I have to see how this one goes. You may like it. You never know. But this will get you entry, get you started on it, and you can use this radio to test kind of get your antennas and situation and get everything the way that you want, and then use it for a while. Maybe you take it for a field day or something, and then maybe you might want to. And then maybe you can pass it on to me or something, and I'll take it off your hands for you when I get my license. But, I was looking at that Flex radio. That thing seems like it's really nice radio. It's got everything built in. It's a lot smaller than, like, your Icom or Yaesu, similar models. They're making more compact now. But, so this one's rated for, like, 500 watts output. And it's supposed to run like really cool. It's supposed to be a lot more efficient than your older radios are supposed to be. Maybe I will start to like I said, maybe $50 put away in somewhere, and when I get enough money saved up for it, I will buy it.
Yep, that's what I do. I have a gun fund especially when I was working and we would get a live bonus check, and I would cash it, and I would always take some of that money, put it in the checking account, but some of it I would always put into an envelope and have some cash on hand so that if I went to a gun show or something, I always had money to buy a new gun. That's the way to do it. Just set money aside and, every week, set some money aside, and before you know it, you'll have enough to buy it. What brand was it again?
The radio was, the company was Flex Radio. I forgot the model. It's a 510, I think it is, something like that. It's one of their upper, they sell various models, but this one is catching my eye. It's really, seems like a really nice radio. It's got the big screen on it, and the waterfall, and, yeah, it's kind of like your Yaesus, but I don't know how much those Yaesus go for. I have to look at them, too.
Yeah, I think the G90 goes for $400 or $500 new. There's a different model I've seen on when I'm on my phone, because I've looked the G90 up, and now we're getting ads for other models. There's another model that runs around $700. I know that's more wattage than this one is.
Yeah, this one's about 10 grand. It just came out, too, so maybe if I wait a year or two, maybe they might drop the price. Maybe by a grand, who knows. I highly doubt you'll find a used one already. Like I said, they're just coming out with them, so we have to see.
Yeah, almost always new models command a higher price until production improves, and they get the scale there that they can sell them at a lower price. So yeah, waiting 6 months or a year might drop pretty good.
Which might take me that long to get my license or get my upgraded license by then. Have to see. Yep. I've been plugging Matt too. He's eager to get his license too. So I got to keep up with him. He's been studying. We got to get his friend into, he's not a good, studier. He's more of, if he gets more in a classroom setting, he does better. So I get, I know that Lancaster offers a class for take your license. So we'll have to see, see if we get him into that and get him his license.
Yeah, self-study can be, you got to be, it gets harder. I know that when I was doing the technician, I would get into it for like, I don't know, we'll say a week. I'd get into it and do something for, you know, every day for a week. And then I would back off and maybe touch it once in the week, the following week. And so, yeah, it can be tough to self-study.
All right, Brad, well, it's that time. I'm going to get in there and get my day started. So, KD2GDQ, KD2PET, 73 is Brad. I will talk to you on Monday.
KC2PET, this is KD2GDQ. Have a great day, Ross, 73, and we will talk on Monday. And we are clear of this channel.